happiness and suffering, happiness or unhappiness, very much involve our own mental attitude. So, therefore, it is worthwhile to train our mind. So now that my main thing is the that do send any answer teddy, Ningu Medeva, that do Samustan Yona, that delay, that the Tajis de Yora Yamare, Tasa Man and Tajak Yamare, Tasa Yerichi possibility Yerichi, do ever store.
If one needs to investigate the pithlessness, the essencelessness of the ordinary type of life in this way, and then if there were no possibility of an ending, then there wouldn't be anything one could do. But if there is a possibility of putting an end to that type of life, then one should do whatever one can.
You see, we today, you see, many scientists as well as you see, engineers, they concentrate making is a certain mission, certain thing which explore outside deep space. Very good, you see, no harm, very good. But meantime, you see, they still this small size of our brain. Here also a lot of space to explore. So you see, now the question is, with this motivation, now I'm not going to go to detailed explanation about these possibility, these things. But now, since you see, there is possibility to get rid of the untamed mind. So now it is worthwhile to follow the gradual method. Now comes the shila.
Ethics.
But the motivation is not
It is with such a motivation of seeking to get beyond suffering that one should engage in ethics. With regard to suffering, there's not just the suffering of pain and the suffering of change, but also the suffering of pervasive conditioning. This refers to the aggregates or the mind and body that are under the influence of contaminated actions and afflictions. Once one has a body and mind that get their impetus from contaminated actions and afflictions, one is stuck in suffering. Then one has come to the point of researching what the origins of suffering are. The origins are two, contaminated actions and afflictions. The main of these are the afflictions. And within the many afflictions, that which brings about the connection between lifetimes is mainly attachment. With regard to contaminated actions or karmas, there are those there are what there is a division of actions into the virtuous and the non-virtuous. Then there is a division of actions into those actions that impel the general outline of a lifetime and those actions that fill in the details of the lifetime.
这不几个说是娘子娘子呀，那其他吧，几个说是来，你读吧。
Then there are actions or karmas that are accumulated in general by groups of people, and then there are actions that are individually accumulated by specific people.
啊，但大家能想个，这不娘子个钱呢，这不娘伢个头个钱呢，哎呀，嗯，趁这里面个通讯娘子个来。
And then with respect to when the effects or results of the actions are experienced, there are actions, karmas, the effects of which are experienced right in the same lifetime or in the next lifetime or in a lifetime after that. There are also divisions of actions into those in which the motivation as well as the carrying out of the action are complete, and there are others. Others in which the motivation is there but it's not carried out, or in which the motivation is not there but the action is done.
但想想来个那么，嗯，对，可是那么些蒙古学术用途。There's
a vast presentation of karma of actions.
这热闹的三维啊！This
is very clear in the treasury of knowledge.
呀呀，当，嗯，当牛毛里呀，哎呢，牛毛多的，嗯，西北走，他就出身，嗯，写的，当地到了呀，到俺这千里梅呢，哎呢，当俺的本命那些就写。
With respect to afflictions, there are the six subtle increasers of suffering, these being six faulty states of mind. One of them, view, is divided further into five, whereby there come to be ten.
他对造物的呢，他恰当牛的嘞。The
main of these are desire and hatred.
当我们怎么理解讲呢？恰当牛的这个两个摆不起多。In
this world, there's a fantastic amount of activity within desire and hatred, right?
啊，但恰当牛的两个虚无是摆在前面，用意就是呢，当我们基本上靠不下来。
Due to the trouble that's caused by desire and hatred, it's difficult for us to have peace. Within desire and hatred, that which is the worst right at the moment is hatred, bringing harm to others. Even a person who is not practicing religion should be capable of understanding the faults of desire and hatred, and that it would be better without desire and hatred. Then the root of desire and hatred is ignorance.
那这题目是啊，对了，嗯，当然，看到可多了，不给。
Each of the schools of tenets has differing interpretations of what constitutes ignorance. However, the main among these is the identification of ignorance as the conception of inherent existence. As was said earlier, because ignorance can be removed, liberation can be achieved. In order to achieve liberation, one needs as the foundation of this the practice of ethics. It is within the context of having taken refuge that one practices ethics. Ethics is like the beginning or the starter of the process of taking a vow of ethics. It is preceded by refuge, one then takes a vow of ethics. The refuges in Buddhism are Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. The main refuge is the Dharma, the doctrine. Buddha is the teacher of the refuge. And the Sangha or spiritual community are those persons aiding one to refuge. The interpretations of refuge differ with the various schools of lower and higher systems of tenets. It becomes more and more profound. In order to understand how contaminated actions and afflictions bring about a life in cyclic existence, it is helpful to understand the 12 links of dependent arising. Today there isn't time for this. So that's the end of the class.
Now tomorrow da samadhi shegi.
And tomorrow I'll talk about samadhi. How many people have you known to reach Buddhahood?
Oho.
Yendem Punangi Marminanshi Bagovere Chevrolet.
남배 도달이야. 연대 분배는 그 말미 넣으시 빼고 우리 있어요.
In the Buddhist way it is said that you are to hide your good qualities and achievements like a lamp inside a vessel.
Advertising is 숨겨 말해.
One should not advertise it. It's not said that one should advertise.
Oh yeah. That. 아니 결론 사실은 근데 결론이 뭐냐라 다짐을 고만 터비 연아야. 지금 그거 전부 시험해 봐. 뭐 다짐을 고만 터비요. 뭐 다짐을 인슬러는 다짐 때문에 동지 동지지.
And it is considered in a minor infraction of the monk's vow if a monk has attained the state of an arhat or a foe destroyer and says to someone else, I have attained such, unless there's some great purpose in doing so. How can one overcome boredom? Or, how can one overcome boredom or not wanting to be alone? I always enjoy and prefer having others with me, doing things together.
I think it's again too less. Some said. So you see, that is the, therefore, it is you see, difficult the person who achieve. How high stage or inexperience. But see, within our generation, see, I met, I have got all that chance or opportunity to meet, you see, some people who are experience certain extraordinary, I'd say, experiences or development. So it shows, you see, there are people even today who reach certain stage. So therefore, you see, definitely, you see, certain people, near achieving Buddhahood or going that direction. Definitely there, as I believe. When you see meeting these people, it gives us more inspiration.
Inspiration.
And you see more determination. And also it become, the teaching is something alive. That's why you see in Buddhist refuge, the Sangha, that means the
a model, someone one can look up to.
So that dig in the chidandi that the chango.
This is the way that the Sangha serves as a means assisting one to refuge.
Let's finish.
I always enjoy and prefer having others with me doing activities together. If I were to be alone, I think I would feel lost. I'm going to put that part of it at the end. How can I overcome this boredom?
Something there.
How can I overcome this boredom or the need to be alone? Or the not wanting to be alone? The person wants to be with other people all of the time and feels that he or she should be alone sometimes, probably to meditate. But always wants to be with others doing things. How can I overcome that? Yes. When the person's alone, they feel bored.
rāṅsāṅgye de drīśek duwa, sṛdhāvī rāṅsāṅgye, sōjū rāṅsāṅgye drīśyāre, nyamdhū rūśit dēngiñ kīpa, rīśik chīgol dēngiñ sīn kīpa.
Among the solitary realizers, there are two types. One that feels more comfortable in the society of others, and another that feels more comfortable entirely alone. So that one who feels to be alone is called the rhinoceros-like solitary realizer, and that's just an example or one type. Not everybody has to be like that.
And so that comes to you, minimum dollar then give it to na. Did you ask him to?
You have to consider what your own disposition is. If you're more comfortable being with others, there's no fault with that. But indeed, you can get used to living alone also. You'll get used to it gradually. What would happen to my emotional blockade, such as anger, if I pursued the Buddhist path? The purpose of engaging in Buddhist practice is to overcome such emotional blockades. This explanation will come later. What meaning has sexual intercourse for an enlightened person or a student of Buddhism? For someone who's a Buddhist, the sexual intercourse can be used in the path when they're capable of a very high level of method and wisdom. But there's nothing involved with the path in just mere intercourse. When a person has achieved a high level in the practice of method and wisdom, then even the joining of the two organs or so-called intercourse does not harm the maintenance of that person's pure behavior. Therefore, yogis who have achieved a high level of path and are fully qualified can engage in such an activity, and a monk can maintain the vows entirely. One Tibetan adept, yogi, an adept said that the eating of meat and drinking of beer is the collection of merit.
Tsogyakolo
is the wheel, the machine.
Tsogyakolo means offering.
Is an offering
to mandala.
I'm sorry. Is an offering to the mandala deities.
That means, you see, not outside deity and mandala. You yourself, you see, visualized as a deity and a full mandala, a complete mandala. And also the ultimate deity is the ultimate bliss, a union of bliss and kasode, shunya, That is the real deity.
That's the ultimate or definitive deity.
Hmm. Now you see, serving or offer to that is the real offering deity or mandala.
Hmm.
So you see, he mentioned like that, then Pimitamba Lagi Sajayins. Pimitamba the Kama Mudrayins.
And that the using a consort is the karma mudra, the action seal.
Mm. In order to develop the karma mudra, the real mahakama mudra. So this is a Kongliya mission that criticized Sevakula to deliver it.
This is what he said when someone else criticized him.
Now you see such, practitioner, for this you see, he can use not only the beautiful, delicious meat and drink, but even human, stools are
excrement, stool.
You see, these and urines, these things, actual thing can bless and can, due to meditation, can do transformation into a real,
ambrosia.
So you see, for such people, now it is something beyond our conception.
So as long as you can't transform piss and shit, these other things should not be done. This is the reason why Buddha set out a long series of stages of paths.
So you see, the first sort of, preliminary stage is the Vinaya Sutra. This, with this dress and this sort of, head. It is the real, sound basis. There's no risk, no danger. Even you can not fully implement, there's not much risk. So now, this take as a sound basis, then practice. Gradually, once you develop a certain inner strength, and there, with that, you can control inner, the five element or four element. If you include space, inner space, then five elements. Once you fully control inner five elements, then you can control outside five elements. At that moment, you can perform anything. So, that is it. So now you see for first stage, the Vinaya Sutra, then second, the Sutriyana, Mahayana teaching. Then next, after practice or after go these stage, thoroughly prepare, then practice Tantrayana. Like that.
If the mind is clear light, and
now, I think now the actual day, because that's again the bliss, sexual kind of condition, controlling what is that? Sexual intercourse.
Sexual union.
What it effects where? Condition what is that? Conduct.
How does it help in the path?
Now you see, in mind or in consciousness, there are many different different level of consciousness. There usually I call the rough consciousness.
Rough or coarse.
Coarser consciousness. That's the potential is very limited. So now the more deeper or more, cosa, substance, more,
more subtle.
More subtler consciousness, the more powerful, more, you see, potential. So what we to do, should to do is, we must utilize that subtler consciousness. Now, in order to utilize the subtler consciousness, the coarser consciousness must cease, must weaken. Now, for that reason, now the you see, certain inner energy movement is very necessary and effective and necessary. Now, for that reason, now the social, the sexual, sexual thing is come. So that is the teaching. That is the reason. But sexual change, time
if one engages in sexual intercourse within common conception and so forth, there's no benefit. The other part of that question was, what need does a Buddha have for sexual intercourse? A Buddha himself, does a Buddha have any use for sexual? No, not at all.
No, I think that Jalang disagree. Kingo Nanga had to do Yin Zan, that is some poor.
You're probably thinking this because the deities in the mandala are embraced in union with a consort.
That the Dajisha Kaso Shasamajina Yum Ten in a Tao Yong Gaji, Timsa Tawanamari. Sugudi, Shanali at Shalim Borba. Machis sick the fishes shall does ya. Controversy has a sick division shall deal with the Javarish. Sugu Shana in the Kain said.
Sugu.
Mhm. Then there is Rubakaya.
Mhm.
Duje Shana. Duje Yutuber, Kari Divers and Shad, the Little Joy, the Karina Menet, and Dying in the Sugudi, Shandu Molia, Bemil Sundukis. Simultaneously, Sharje Mato, Sanja Rawango Kone.
There is not at all any sense in Vajradharas, a Buddhist, having to rely on sexual intercourse in order to have bliss. A Buddha has full bliss by himself. Now the appearance in the mandala in this way is an appearance for others. There is talk about whether these appearances are included within other persons' continuums or in the Buddha's own continuum, but in any case, a Buddha is capable of appearing in whatever way that's appropriate, and thus this is merely an appropriate appearance for the sake of others.
Because
there is benefit in purpose in a person of very sharp faculties making use of a consort and the bliss of sexual union, there is purpose in that person's using this in the path. Therefore, in the mandalas, the deities appear in this form. Similarly, also, Vajradhara appears in peaceful aspects and wrathful aspects, and this does not at all mean that Vajradhara has two aspects to his personality, one that's very peaceful and another that's very angry. It doesn't at all mean that. It means that there's some purpose in appearing that way for the sake of trainees.
Thus the appearance of a Buddha in form bodies is due to the needs of trainees. From the Buddha's own point of view, Buddha has the total fulfillment of the truth body in which he or she remains forever. It is a case of the total peace of all conceptual and conventional elaborations. If the mind is clear light and empty of inherent existence, can this mind be reached or understood, experienced by any means in a person whose physical body is handicapped by a severe mental defect? The person has some severe mental problem. Can that person possibly get a hold of the mind of clear light? Is there any practice? This is difficult. That would be difficult. The realization of emptiness is the realization. It is in this context. It is in this context that we speak of leisure and opportunity, that is to say, having the leisure and opportunity to be able to practice religion, one of the prerequisites being that one have full faculties. And because there's a great difference with regard to the life basis, it is said that in highest yoga tantra, it is necessary to have the life basis of a human. Born from a womb and having the six constituents. The realization of emptiness is the realization of a negation. Therefore, is Buddhism then a long preparation for a serene death, for a peaceful death? The realization of emptiness is realizing some negative. Therefore, is Buddhism a long preparation for a peaceful death? Because the most important realization is of a negative, then are you aiming just to pass away? This is due to a misunderstanding of emptiness. One has to be able to understand the meaning of emptiness as the meaning of dependent arising. Therefore, as your realization or ascertainment of emptiness increases, there should be an increase in the ascertainment that things depend upon causes and conditions, that things are dependent arisings, because they do not exist inherently. When one feels that everything is useless because it's empty, this is a case of misunderstanding emptiness as an emptiness of nihilism. Rather, when one understands emptiness properly, one gains more ascertainment that it's necessary to rely properly on causes and effects. That's the real understanding of emptiness. It's impossible to explain the import of the realization of emptiness in the context of just giving an explanation and people taking notes. Rather, it's something that has to be worked at over a long period of time in company with the practice of overcoming defilements and accumulating merit in engaging in many positive causes. For spiritual development, Australian schools of yoga emphasize the importance of the full yoga breath, breathing, namely starting from the diaphragm on up, not the Western way, which Occidental means Western, right? Not the Western way, which is from the top of the lungs, just breathing shallow. Yes. Local Buddhist meditation seems to place no emphasis on the form of breathing, but just advises following one's current breathing pattern, the usual breathing pattern, and meditate within that. So he's wondering, should it be done deeply or shallow, or should you just let it go normal? What's explained in the Treasury of Knowledge in terms of breath meditation is a matter of watching the inhalation and exhalation of breath, and in that context doesn't have reference to how deep it is. But then in the mantra system, there is a breathing exercise which is called the pot-like breathing exercise, in which one brings up the lower winds and brings down the upper winds and holds them. This can be done at the navel or at the heart. I don't know the specific explanation in yoga. They must have their own explanation. Last question. Your Holiness, could you please explain how pratyaksha, nusum, direct perception, as discussed in Dharmakirti's commentary on Dignaga's compendium on valid cognition, how this could relate to the development of wisdom? What relation does nusum have to the development of wisdom? What relationship does direct perception have to wisdom? I think all of the schools of tenets agree that, first of all, one develops a conceptual inferential realization, and then gradually turns this into direct perception. I explained it backwards. That the initial development of a conceptual inferential realization of emptiness. That the development of an inferential realization depends upon a reason, and that reason depends upon a reason. In any case, the reasoning process derives from a basic shared direct perception. There's no way that one can just depend on scripture.
Mm.